Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to Luke 19, where we start a new chapter in Luke this morning. We're in Luke 19. We'll look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Once in a while, someone will ask me to keep my sermon short. And so today they kind of get their wish, so to speak, because at least we're talking about a short person within our text. We'll look at Zacchaeus this morning in that story. Most children know the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. So we'll look at this passage this morning, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Let me pray, and we'll start this morning. Father, we thank you for a time to worship, to gather with brothers and sisters in the Lord, to confess our dependence, to confess our sin, to confess, Lord Jesus, you are our Savior, our God, and our Lord. Lord, as we begin to think about the gospel in our lives, I want to take time and pray for the event on August 12th, as our heart is to reach young people, to reach older people, people who are lost, people like Zacchaeus. Lord, we pray that there's so much violence going on in the hearts, and guns are being used to take lives, and there's just a darkness over the hearts of many. And if it wasn't for your grace poured into our hearts, we would be suffering the same disasters, the same consequences, the same lostness. And so our desire for this event is to reach those who may not enter into a building like this, but through the songs, through the testimonies, through the love, that you would send your spirit into hearts of young men and women, and they would be awakened to a new reality of joy, of peace, of life, of direction, of purpose. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd use all of us who are involved to do that. That's our hope. That's our desire, that as we were blind and you opened our eyes, Lord, that you would open many eyes to rescue those from the hands of Satan who have blinded their eyes, that they would find life. So, Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers and that you would save your people. You would prepare hearts and minds, for it will come upon us quickly. Lord, we pray for our passage this morning as we look into one who was lost and Jesus came to seek and save him. Lord, that you would teach us how you've worked in our lives, and perhaps there's one here who feels lost. And Lord, that they would hear your voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is life, it is living, it is active. It goes right where it needs to. And so, Lord, we pray that you would guide us, teach us this morning by your Spirit as we read your word and hear some things of how to understand it and how to apply it, Lord. May you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This ends the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It's probably the verse you should highlight. Many commentators say this is the theme of Luke. If you were to narrow it down, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. For those who have been journeying with us, we've been going through Luke, and we just got done with Luke 18 over the last several weeks, and it's interesting how different events are strung together and concluding here with Zacchaeus. At the beginning of Luke 18, there was a Pharisee, a religious person, and a tax collector who made their way to the temple to pray, if you recall. And the religious person, the Pharisee, was praying, "I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, or even like the tax collector." And the tax collector wouldn't even lift up his eyes, but he beat his breast and he would stand afar off and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says it was that guy who went home justified. And then after that, they were bringing infants to Jesus, and the disciples were rebuking the people, saying, "Keep the children away." But Jesus said, "You let those children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not humble himself like a child will not enter it." Then a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks, "How do I inherit eternal life?" Another rich man. And Jesus says, you know the commandments. And he's like, I've kept them all. You can almost hear Jesus with a sigh just look at him with disgust and just say, "Well, then we'll go sell all that you have, sell to the poor, and follow me, and you can be my disciple." And he went away sad. And Jesus said, "It's how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But what is impossible with men is possible with God." You can see this kind of a building, right, towards Zacchaeus. And then he enters and goes by this blind man. He wants to recover his sight. And we talked about last week how Jesus has to open our eyes, because Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, didn't understand that the Son of Man would have to go to the cross to lay down his life. They didn't understand. They didn't see it. And Jesus goes to this blind man and heals him so that he could see. And it's Jesus who must open our eyes to see that the Son of Man must go to the cross for us. And so now we come to this wealthy chief tax collector. He sees his need. He sees his dependency on Jesus. And he comes to Jesus like a child. He climbs up a tree like a schoolboy. His life, though he's very wealthy, did not satisfy him. In this story, we see that Zacchaeus experiences the power of God in transforming his heart, receiving salvation and a new perspective on life. J.C. Ryle, he writes in his commentary, "We learn that no one is too bad to be saved or beyond the power of Christ's grace." We're told of a wealthy tax collector becoming a disciple of Christ. A more unlikely event we cannot tell or imagine. He says we see the camel passing through the eye of the needle, a rich man entering the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful story of grace and compassion of God that God had set upon Zacchaeus before the foundation of the world. And we see it coming to fruition in this moment of time. Though a great sinner, he was chosen by God, a sheep that belonged to Jesus, loved and predestined, called, reborn, and converted, and justified, a son of Abraham. It's a story of all of God's people. It's the story of our eyes being opened at a point in time because Jesus came and sought us when a stranger, as the old hymn says. He came and sought us when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue us from danger, bought us with his precious blood. He came and opened our eyes to the glorious realities that are ours in Him. And this morning, perhaps you've been restless, finding no satisfaction in the things of this world, and perhaps it's because Jesus is awakening you. Jesus is drawing you to Himself, and He wants you to come to Him to find peace, to find lasting joy. And for us who have been walking with Jesus for a while now, He calls us to consider these things and rejoice that He is the fount of every blessing. That we can tune our hearts to sing His grace. We can rejoice in His streams of mercy. They are never ceasing. They call for our loudest praise. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So how does He do that? What do we learn from Zacchaeus' story? The first thing we see that He shows us that this world won't satisfy us. The things of this world will not satisfy us. Again, in Luke 19, verse 1 to 4, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Him, for he's about to pass that way. Zacchaeus was a very rich chief tax collector. Maybe think of someone like Jeff Bezos of Amazon, kind of wealthy. But for Zacchaeus, he didn't get it by just means. For Zacchaeus, he would take advantage of others and steal and take from others more than he deserved as a tax collector. As a tax collector, he worked for the Roman Empire, so in the eyes of the Jews, he was seen as a traitor, a scoundrel. Then as a tax collector, on top of what he would collect for Rome, he would add whatever percentage that he wanted for himself. If you were a friend of Zacchaeus, maybe he would just charge you an extra 3%. If Zacchaeus didn't like you, maybe you owed a little more, maybe an extra 10%. He was the chief tax collector as well. He would be in charge of over many tax collectors, and he would reap off of what they collected as well. It was the great ancient pyramid scheme. Zacchaeus was a crook. He was a swindler. He was a thief, a traitor in the community's eyes, a huge sinner. Though he was short, his pockets were full and big. He could have had the nice Corvette. He could have had the nicest home on the block, the latest fashion clothes. He could have gotten whatever he wanted. The glittery toys were at his fingertips. But we can see from the text, he's restless. He's unsatisfied. He's spiritually parched. He had all the wealth he could ever want, buy all the stuff he ever wanted, but there's a hole in his heart that could never be satisfied. And he was beginning to understand. Our text says he was seeking Jesus. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. The very rich, the very dignified tax collector is acting like a schoolboy, climbing up into a tree to see who Jesus of Nazareth was, the carpenter's son. What would make someone do that who could get anything in the world that he ever wanted? He had a wrestling, he had a stirring going on inside a soul, a questioning. Is this all there is? Is life just hoarding wealth, just spending on things that don't bring lasting happiness? Is this all there is, just taking advantage of others so I can just get ahead? He felt the conviction of his sin. He felt his conviction of defrauding people, his greed, his lack of compassion towards others. He felt the conviction of his wealth becoming his God. The things of the world have a hold of his heart. He felt the conviction of stealing, of lying, of coveting. He felt the slavery of the idols of the world that never satisfied him. For the things of this world are never meant to ultimately satisfy us. But only Christ, the God who creates us, the God who redeems us, the God who can give lasting joy. And this is the compassion of God working in his life. The text isn't explicit in these things, but we know from the rest of Scripture that God draws his people to himself, convicting them of sin, causing them to see the mercies that are theirs in Christ Jesus, that God is going out and finding his sheep, his people. So Zacchaeus, with this stirring inside of him, runs ahead. He finds a tree. He climbs up it and he waits for Jesus to approach. For us, we need to ask ourselves, what could it be? What idol are we trusting in or hoping in to thinking it will give lasting hope, peace, and joy? What could it be that you go to each day, each week, thinking it will satisfy you rather than running to Jesus? Jesus is calling us to turn away from those idols and turn to him. It could be the chasing of the American dream, chasing after good health and a good body, chasing after relationships to find disappointments, living life on your own terms and recognizing it doesn't work. If you're sensing these things, it's Christ's compassion drawing you. The things of the world were never meant to satisfy you or completely. Only being found in Christ brings lasting joy. And Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. The second thing we see that he will call to our souls, welcoming us with love to find satisfaction in him. Jesus, in verse 5, came to the place. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must." It's an imperative. "I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Out of the whole crowd of people, of all the commotion that's going on in Jericho, with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to go to the cross, Jesus stops, lays eyes on Zacchaeus up in the tree, one of his sheep that he would lay his life down for. There he is, up in the tree, unwelcomed by the world, the sheep whom he loves, the sheep who's lost in his sin, his sheep that needs rescued and delivered, Zacchaeus. Jesus came to the place, looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house today." So he hurried and received him joyfully. You can imagine the scene, like schoolboys climbing down a tree and just kind of maybe laughing with great joy and hugging and making way to his house. Remind you of some beautiful scriptures from John 6, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the one who satisfies." And in John 10, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. This came true for Zacchaeus this day. The voice of Jesus was sweeter than any voice he had heard in a long time. And the welcoming compassion of Jesus was unlike anything he had ever experienced. "Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house today." Zacchaeus knew he didn't deserve to be in his presence. He understood how awful his life choices had been over the years. But Jesus welcomes him with grace and compassion that he could not resist and he would not want to resist. And Jesus says, "I'm going to your house today." Jesus takes the initiative to Zacchaeus and says, "I know you and I want to be with you. The rest of the world despises you. The world hates you for the things that you've done. but I want to be with you. I want to atone for your sins. I will wipe them clean and set you on a path of life. It's amazing love. And the crowd saw it and they grumbled. In verse 7, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. He actually went to be the Savior and the Lord of a sinner. He didn't come to call the righteous but sinners. He came for you. He came for me, the lost sheep who needed to be found, lost in sin, lost in our own lives, lost in the lies of the world, lost in the lies of the evil one. And Jesus calls us to life. As the old hymn says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain all over my soul, but he washes it and makes it white as snow. Do you hear him calling to you today to find rest, to find joy, to find peace in him? J.C. Rao, he says, the door of hope, which is the gospel, reveals to sinners is a gospel door that's wide open. Let's leave it open as we find it. Let us not attempt to narrow-minded ignorance to shut that door of the gospel. We would never be afraid to maintain that Christ is able to save to the uttermost and that the vilest of sinners may be freely forgiven if they'll only come to him. There is hope. Only repent and believe. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Can you receive him? Can you receive his welcoming grace? Can you hear him say to you, I must stay in your house, the house of your heart? It's an imperative. I must. I'm going to set you on a path of life. He's come to seek and save the lost. And lastly, he will give us eternal joy with new purposes and perspectives on life. In verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus is now a testimony to 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The heart that has experienced the grace of Christ will have a heart that hates sin and his old ways. Zacchaeus has salvation. He's been justified. Jesus declares him, here is the son of Abraham. He has salvation. And Zacchaeus has eternal joy, new purposes and new perspectives. He's forever changed. He's now aligned with the will of God. He desires to follow his commandments, for they are laws of love. And even more, he's being like Jesus, shedding grace upon grace upon grace. Behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. He didn't have to. He just wanted to. And if I've defrauded anyone, anything, I'll restore it fourfold. He didn't have to do it that much, but he wanted to. He experienced the grace and compassion of the Lord in his life, and he wanted to overflow and touch others. Now, instead of seeing his wealth as an idol, wealth was something that he didn't want to see wealth as something to hoard, but he sees wealth as something good, something to bless others, wealth that would be used to treat others kindly, wealth to be used to glorify God and his kingdom. And he showed it in his evidence of his faith and repentance. New understandings, new perspectives, new goals, new purposes, aligning with the God who made him. The compassion he experienced from Jesus now transformed him to be gracious and compassionate, and he does the same for us. As the scriptures say, he who is forgiven much loves much. Are you still being transformed, understanding the grace and compassion that God shows you each and every morning, each and every day? Are you looking to be more like Jesus in how you talk and your attitude and the things you say in your relationships? Would the people who knew you before you met Jesus, who would see you now after you have faith in Jesus, say, wow, you're something different. You're something new. Are you lost in the ways of the world? Are you wrestling, or are you in despair, or are you in hope? Only Jesus will satisfy. Only Jesus will give you lasting joy and forgiveness and set you on a path of life. And he says, follow me. It's a beautiful story of his grace and compassion that was set upon us before the foundation of the world. Though we are great sinners, we've been chosen, we've been predestined, we've been loved, we've been called, we've been regenerated, we've been justified. It's the story of God opening up people's eyes. It's the story of Jesus coming to seek and save the lost. He is the fount of every blessing. Tune your heart to sing his grace, the old hymn says. Rejoice in the streams of mercy. They are never ceasing. They call for songs of loudest praise. Let's pray. Jesus, where would we be? Where would we be if you haven't came and found us? If you didn't send your Spirit to draw us, to open our eyes, to do that what was impossible for us, to give us salvation. Lord, we hear these things many times, but Lord, I pray that they're real. That they're real as the pew that we're sitting upon. Real as the food that we eat. Gospel realities of, though we are great sinners, Jesus would atone for every single one of them and wants to be in our house. When others would despise and reject us, you want to be with us. Forgive us, Lord, cleanse us. There's much sin in our hearts, in our lips, in our minds, in our actions, Lord. Thank you for welcoming us, promising to transform us, to change us, not to leave us the way we are, but to set us on a new path. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory, for you are deserving. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, use us as instruments to seek and save your sheep. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.